Welcome, everyone. This is the March 28th, 2023 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum, so we're convening the meeting, and I'm going to ask the Secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please take the roll.
Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams. Teresa Allen.
Allen is present.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Present.
Amal Harris.
Present.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden.
Present.
Sean Kelly McPherson. James Baggerton.
Yeah.
Is that McPherson?
It was. It is.
Okay. James Baggerton.
Here.
Okay, that's eight. You have a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, now we're going to move on to the next item, which is number three, adopt the agenda. I will read the agenda. It is one, convene the meeting, two, roll call, three, adopt agenda, four, five minutes, five, nominations for committee officers, 5 minutes, six, report from the executive director, 30 minutes, seven, review of central services formula, 30 minutes, eight, select budget timelines, 30 minutes, nine, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Is there any discussion?
This is Beth. Yes.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes. I would like to move that we postpone item number five until the next meeting.
Beth. Yes. I don't know if you saw the exchange between R. Paul and I on the list. What we're going to do is just discuss that matter as, you know, whether or not what to do there.
Okay.
All so. Right. It's not that we're definitely going to do it. We're just going to discuss whether that's what we should do.
All right.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted. R. Paul, do we have minutes?
Yes, we do. Okay. I move that we approve the minutes of the January 24th, 2023 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Hearing none, that's done. Remembering that we can always make additions, adjustments, corrections at any time in the future. Okay, that takes us to number five, which is nominations for committee officers. And as you heard initially, there was some question as to whether we should do that. And why don't I give Beth Von Gunten the floor, and she can discuss. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes. The position on the committee here for KPFK treasurer has been vacant since last December. And we now finally have local elections in process. The ballots have gone out. The polls will close this Friday. So we should have a new treasurer, I would guess, by the end of the week. So I would like to move that we postpone this item to the next meeting so that we can have a full complement of all members when we address this, when we elect officers.
All right. I don't want to take a position on this, so I don't object to it. I'm not in favor of it. So do we have any other discussion?
Just a quick, this is just for nominations. It's not the election, and the nominations are open for a period of time. Isn't that the case?
Usually we would do something
like
this.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, usually we hold the, you know, we can do this at the NFC, you know, either sometimes by acclaim, but also if we have to go to an OPA vote, you know, we can do that in about a week. And we have sometimes two, sometimes 3 weeks between our meetings. But the point is, we don't know yet who KPFK will send us as a treasurer, and that person might want to be an officer or, you know, be the chair or the secretary. So
or nominate someone.
Yes, or nominate someone. Good point. Thank you.
And again, when was the nomination? Did you think you would this person would be selected by when?
The ballots have already gone out. The polls will close this Friday, and I expect we'll have a result by Sunday. They're using the standard, what is now the standard Pacifica process with Terry Goodman as teller.
We're on the verge. So I guess the only question is whether, if the nominations, as long as they're open, you know, for a week after Sunday. That's kind of the only real issue. Somebody can be nominated now, but it doesn't matter if somebody's nominated now. We just want to, it's just when we close the nominations that matters. Isn't that correct? Isn't that all we care about?
May I respond to that?
Yeah, sure. I thought he asked you specifically.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to assume that I had the floor. Yeah, technically, that's true. Mathematically, it can maybe work that way. But elections are a whole process, and especially when we're trying to welcome a newly seated member, I think it would be. It's not like it solves any problem to nominate people before that, and I would just like to. Save the entire process. It's not going to finish any soon if we postpone the actual election, but start the nominations now. It doesn't really get us to the goal any sooner. And I would just like to include that person in the entire process, whoever it turns out to be.
Okay. I didn't understand. Normally we have a period of time. So I don't have a problem with it. I just wanted to make sure I understood, you know, why we needed to wait to open the nominations. The main thing is we want to wait to close the nominations after these people are seated. I'm good with just waiting on opening the nominations too. So.
Thank you.
So I'll ask, is there any other discussion? And then I will ask our Paul. In your opinion, do you think we need a motion on this, or do we just let it go until the next meeting?
What was said before was to postpone elections. Now, do we want to have it say postpone nominations and elections?
Well, the subject line on the agenda is nominations for committee officers. So I guess
We haven't decided elections how long to nominations. So change elections to nominations. Yeah, let's do a motion. That way it's, you know, we keep it clear.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I did make a motion. I moved to postpone to next meeting the entire electoral process to allow us to include the new KPFK treasurer.
That's what I read. It was to postpone elections to the next meeting. You want to have it be to postpone the entire election process? Is that it?
I guess so, given that it seemed that there was some confusion about – I consider nominations to be part of the entire electoral processes, and I was hoping not to do it piecemeal, so I wanted to include – Thank you.
So what I have then is to postpone the entire election process to the next meeting.
Yes.
Okay, I have it.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. Now we'll open that for discussion, even though we've already had it some. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? Also hearing none, we'll do that next time then. Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
James, this is Chris Corey. I just wanted to let you know that I'm present.
Oh, hi, Chris. And I should, I did hear Jim Dingman's voice earlier. Thank you, Chris, for being here. Can we hear from the directors who are on the call? Jim Dingman, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Heather Gray, are you here?
Yes, thank you.
Very good. I think that was all. Was there anybody else? I don't think so. Okay, as per the PNB's resolution, committee meetings are now open to directors to attend, so that's why we have the extra directors here. And Chris Corey was specifically invited to join us in the discussion of the central services formula, which I keep saying as the closest thing to an expert on central services formula that we have in Pacifica. So he graced us with his presence last time and is here again this time. So that takes us to number six on the agenda, and that is the report from the executive director. Stephanie, as always, I put 30 minutes for this, but you can take as much time or as little as you wish. You know, it's usually the questions that extend the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are, Markeisha and I are still making great progress on the 2022 bank reconciliations. Markeisha is doing the majority of the work on that. We have completed the bank reconciliations for KPFT and WBAI. We're sort of working through each of the divisions to get us everything ready that we need for to start our auditing process. This is good news also, is that Markeisha was working very closely with KPFT on the 2024 budget, and we are happy to say that it is complete. So we are trying to get each of the divisions to start working ahead with their budget so we can start the new fiscal year with 2024 budgets already approved. So that budget has been completed as of yesterday, and it is going to be presented, Sandy's going to be presenting it to the KPFT Finance Committee pretty soon, and then we can get it on the agenda here. And with that process, we have been offering to help a lot of the other divisions as well, but I think that what we're going to do, Markeisha and I were talking about it today, is rather than me calling people up and offering to help with their budgets, I'm just going to make meetings where we will help with their budgets, because once we get on the phone and we Zoom and go through the budgets with each of the divisions that we've been working with and helping so far, we can really get the whole thing done in less than an hour. And then we just kind of work on some of the kinks in the formulas, because there was some issue with the formulas with KPFT, but then Markeisha was able to go through and sort of correct some of the issues that were there, and then we can present it then one more time to the each division and then go through it. So it's a lot faster if the divisions take advantage of us helping them with that. I know that WPFW has reached out already for us to work with them, and I've spoken with Jerry quite a bit about it, and the same with Michael Novak as far as reaching out and working with him on that budget. So our goal again is to try to get all of the budgets ready and presented to the National Finance Committee prior to the start of fiscal year 24. And as we do the budgets, and even prior to that, I have been discussing with a lot of the general managers just on multiple one-on-one calls, where we can potentially reduce expenses, but also take a good look at new ways of increasing revenue as well, or increasing efforts to increase their revenue. And that may be just kind of thinking outside of the box, whether we are, planning some in-home events. KPFK had a couple in-home events that were scheduled this past month, but had to be rescheduled due to some scheduling issues with someone that was hosting one of the events, and then weather with the other one. And also just a lot of reaching out. KPFT has been doing a great job reaching out to the communities to try to get just some support from there, as well as WBAI, who is you know, finally it's a slow process, not anything that they're doing, but just working with the city and the county. They have started now to receive funding from the New York Department of Transportation for the PSAs that they've been doing for them. And hopefully they'll be able to receive funding from the New York Department of Health pretty soon. But it is very difficult at any of the cities, you know, to sort of speed that process along. KPFK also rented out, or not rent, I guess it's sort of renting out the facility two times this past couple of weeks just for film shoots. And so they did that in partnership with the archives, and that was able to bring in $10,000. And so they've been kind of looking at that as well, just different ways to kind of bring in some additional income that's thinking outside of the box. As far as also looking at expenses in the long run, WPFW for a while now has been looking to move into a smaller location that's much less expensive, basically going from $12,000 in rent down to a little less than $5,000 in rent. So, and it's actually, I think, to a slightly a more usable facility from what they've explained to me. So we're moving forward. I believe they're going to be moving forward in doing that. And WBAI is also just taking a look at the possibility of moving into a less expensive area. So again, we're kind of thinking outside of the box, and whether things like that work or not, it's just a way to kind of make our brains think a little bit different as ways to new ways that we could reduce expenses and new ways to increase the revenue. One of the things that we are doing, and I thank Bertold for arranging this, is meeting with our call center, ACD. We're going to be meeting on Thursday to start conversations regarding centralizing their services throughout our network. And we will then at that point try to negotiate a more favorable pricing structure if they're servicing rather than sending us three or four invoices for all the different divisions. We can try to get a more favorable pricing structure if we just centralize it through the national office. Does anybody have any questions?
Our Paul?
Teresa?
Let's take a second right here. Our Paul and Teresa.
Okay.
Kamau.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay, go ahead, our Paul.
Okay.
James, sorry. Can I make a quick question, our Paul? I'm sorry. Am I allowed to be on the stack here, or am I just an observer for stuff like this?
No, you're an invited guest to participate in this meeting, so you can certainly get on the stack.
I'll get on the end of the stack after the NFC members then.
Gotcha, Chris.
Thanks.
Okay. Head up, Paul.
All right. You said which station, two things. One, which station is doing the film shoot?
KPFK and the archives.
And the archives. Okay. And is you mentioned WBAI moving from the current place. Well, without getting into anything, what sort of time frame would that be in? Because we just built a big studio in there.
It's not anything that all of a sudden we're going to say we're moving next week. We're just having everybody take a close look at their expenses and figuring out ways that they can reduce. And it may be that one of the things that often is overlooked is rent. And so, again, it doesn't mean that we're saying we're moving. It's just a way to kind of look at, is the space being utilized to its fullest? Is there another option where we could save money? And if that would be the case, what would that mean? Would that even be possible? Are there other facilities out there? Does it make financial sense to move? It's just kind of allowing the general managers, as I'm talking with them, to just brainstorm and think outside of the box. And it may be as simple as, no, that's not something that's necessary. But it's just a way to kind of be thinking, this may be something that is viable.
Okay. It's kind of ironic since when we moved in there, Pacifica could have gotten a place for $3 million and it was valued at $12 million. So, oh well, we'll see what happens next. Thank you.
Thank you, our Paul. Teresa.
I want to say Thank you very much, and congratulations to the general managers and the staffs who have thought out of the box. That's just wonderful. I think it's wonderful that we made some money by, I guess, the filming situation. And I know when we moved into our building, one of my first thoughts was, you know, can we designate one of these rooms in the building for another nonprofit? Collaboration, because I think that in like Champaign-Urbana, there was a nonprofit that bought an old post office with an understanding that they leave the post office there, but there was a whole building that they could rent out. I think I'm not sure that many of our general managers think of themselves as building managers. And so I think in the past, some of our buildings have kind of gone, you know, down, and they've kind of degraded while we've been in those facilities. We haven't maintained them the way we should have. But bravo for thinking out of the box, and that's just wonderful news, and just keep at it.
Thank you. That's actually one of the things that WPFW found, is that a collaboration with a nonprofit that purchased a very large building in Washington, D.C., where they are renting out floors and offices for individuals and companies. And so whether a company would come in and take, you know, rent out an entire floor, or an individual that's coming in and needing just to rent an office, they actually have also free space where people can come in if they're working out of their home and they don't want to be in their home anymore. They can, you know, come to an office, or somebody can rent an entire conference room if they're looking for something. And it's a nonprofit that focuses on renting space to other nonprofits that are activists and justice, and we were very careful to take a look to make sure that their mission was very similar to our mission, so we wouldn't be providing funding in the form of rent to an organization that we didn't believe in their principles.
Thank you. Kamau.
Thanks, James. Good evening, Stephanie. You mentioned the budget process. I know it's been a hot topic at WPFW. So you were saying getting ready for fiscal 24. Is it your preparation for 24's budget that's happening for our station, or are we still trying to put together a 23 budget?
I believe that WPFW is still trying to put together a 23 budget, but as we're putting together the 2023 budget, just because of the place where we are within fiscal year 2023, it makes sense that we can pump that one out fairly quickly and then work at the same time with looking at 2024. Because at this point, a lot of the general managers and program directors and staff are already looking at their expenses and things that they need to be looking forward to or working on in fiscal year 24. So it's so far, with conversations that we've had with people with other stations, it's been very easy or smooth to be able to work on both budgets simultaneously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kamau and Stephanie. I want to say I had that question in my notes as well, because I wasn't sure whether you misspoke or whether you said what you basically just said now, that you're working on 23 and 24, but that clarifies it. Perfect. So now go ahead, Chris.
Okay, thanks, James. Stephanie, I'm just kind of curious what, and forgive me if you've answered this question repeatedly on the NFC, because I, you know, of course, haven't been here in a while. What's the current state of the bookkeeping for the organization? What is the most recent month's end closed is my specific question. I heard you mentioning the reconciliations earlier. I'm just wondering where we're at with the overall picture here. And I got elected to audit, so that's what's motivating the question. Thank you.
Our most recent month-end close is February 2023.
Okay, thanks. That's my only question. Thank you. And I appreciate the rest of that report, by the way. It's good to, that you're getting a jump on some of these budgets. It seems like a really practical and smart idea and very welcome. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Are there any other questions? Hearing none. Stephanie, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Very good.
May
okay.
I ask,
I'm sorry, James.
May I ask one
I
other
one
question?
Oh, yeah. I heard two people speaking at once there. I heard a female voice and a male voice, I think.
Teresa.
And what was the other voice?
And Kamau.
Thank you, Kamau. Okay.
Did you get your question answered, Kamau, before?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just wanted to ask Stephanie if she has any request of us.
I think I would like to be able to, when we're reviewing, after Markeisha and I have worked with the general managers, it would be helpful, and we have that first draft or a draft that's ready to go for each division. I would like to be able to meet with the representatives from that station with Markeisha, myself, and the general manager, so we can go through the notes section or the justifications column for each of the decisions that was made. So then the representatives on this committee can have a better understanding of sharing and explaining how we came to the conclusions that we did with the budget and having a more hands-on approach to explaining that justification column and then kind of agreeing as we move forward to really take an active look at each division's budget on a monthly basis so we can project if there's going to be shortfalls and make those accommodations sooner than, be proactive rather than reactive. But that's kind of as we move forward in 2024. But now a lot of it is just, if there could be an active role in helping explain those justifications to this committee as those budgets are presented to this committee.
Thank you. I hope we can make that happen for you.
Thank you, Teresa. Stephanie, Kamau?
Yes, just a follow-up. So the most recent month-end close is February. Are those financials available for us at the stations yet?
Not that I am aware of. Markeisha might have sent them to some people already just to kind of look at them with reconciliation of the reports that we might have gotten from them, but I'm still kind of looking over them with her for any adjustments that might need to be made. But they should be out. As soon as we get them, then I divide it up and send each general manager a copy of theirs so that they can make any changes. And then they send those changes to myself and Markeisha. We make those adjustments if necessary, and then compile those and send them out to everybody. So I would guesstimate that those will probably be ready for everybody by the end of this month. Well, that's in a couple of days. I would say within the first week of April.
Stephanie, this is, I'm going to just interject a question here. I didn't hear the NFC mentioned in that timeline that you gave there. Are you planning on bringing those to the NFC?
Yes. Yeah. I do have the general managers, though, and we did it with the end of the fiscal year. So far, every month, what we've done is that we've given the first draft of those to the general managers, not the entire set of consolidated financials, but I give them I pull the spreadsheet apart and divide it up with each division, then also the overview of the consolidated financials for the entire foundation, and then send, for example, send KPFK their consolidated financials and the entire foundation's financials. They look at those to see if there are any discrepancies, and then they share that with Markeisha. And then once we get those changes made, and usually people are pretty fast about calling and making those changes with her, then it's presented to the National Finance Committee. So I don't want to send
there
are changes that still need to be made.
Exactly. That's a useful process. I appreciate that. Give the GMs a chance to make any corrections necessary. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I have another question.
I just want to be sure that Kamau was done. Were you finished, Kamau?
Well, I did have one follow-up since Stephanie mentioned
Please
the
go
process
ahead.
There. So when just so I understand, when you compile the financials for a station and send it back for review and then it's sent back to you, is it your understanding that local stations are familiar with the coding of their transactions?
Yeah,
they are.
I mean, in the first column of the consolidated financials that everybody gets, actually, if you open up column A, that lists the coding of what everything is assigned to, and that's where we get the questions that go back and forth. So if something hasn't been coded correctly, then somebody can look at it and say, you know, oh, no, that telephone bill looks too high, or no, that consultant line looks too high. That actually was, you know, a payment that was made to a vendor. And then by them taking a look at that, they can make those changes.
Right. So they have the bank statement with the transactions for the month. They also have the financials, and they're matching the two. They're taking what's on the bank statement and trying to place it somewhere into the financial statement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Stephanie?
Yes. I have a question.
Teresa?
Can you hear me? Yes, I have another question.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
I was interested. I was listening to a very interesting presentation the other day, and it was saying that people or businesses, when they have debts to more than one organization, even though it's in their best interest to pay down those debts that have the highest interest, they have a tendency to pay down the ones that are the smallest. And I'm wondering if there are any stations that are accruing debt on credit cards and not paying it in full every month.
There are a few credit cards. Julia Kennard and I were actually trying to work this out when I first started. There are a few credit cards that have monthly payments or monthly charges on them. There are no physical cards anywhere that we are aware of, and there's people's names on cards that I think there's a card with Maxie Jackson's name and Lydia's name still on it. We have canceled Julia Kennard and I, in the very beginning, we canceled a lot of ongoing charges that just weren't making any sense. We tried to locate as many cards as possible as to who had what and what they were being charged. We paid off a significant amount of credit. Right now, the only cards that I'm aware of were KPFK, and that was paid. I think there's only like maybe $3,000 or $4,000 left on that. But nobody knows where the physical card is, but there aren't new charges that are going to it. I just canceled another business card that was just out there. We didn't really know what it was, and there were no charges on it. And then there's another card that that KPFT has, and that also gets paid off on a regular basis. Not paid completely off, but paid down. There were kind of just a lot of random. There was a payment recently. One of the reasons that we canceled one of the cards that we were trying to locate was that there was a payment that was made on a credit card that was deducted from the affiliate's bank account, but the card wasn't connected to the affiliate. So it took a little bit of time to try to track down where that card was, or not physically again, but who originally got that card, what name was on that card, why would it be connected to the affiliate's bank account? And then once we got those numbers on it, and the affiliates worked very closely with me kind of providing that information, I was then able to call the bank and start the process of canceling that card. So everything right now is just a matter of paying it down, but no additional, you know, massive amounts of charges are being made
you know, nobody really has a card to pay for.
Well,
you know,
is it true that the current interim general manager at KPFT inherited a $20,000 credit card debt? Plus.
Oh yeah. The KPFT originally had, I think, a $54,000 debt. Yeah. And I believe KPFK's was pretty similar to the same. So little, yeah, we've been paying down as much as possible those cards. And a lot of the
Right now, no one is running up those charges with an understanding that they would not be paid in full.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
There isn't anybody that I'm aware of that even has access to use one of the, you know, use any of the cards. It's not like, you know, people aren't really reimbursed for, you know, yeah, not that people are traveling, but, you know, nobody really is reimbursed for any sort of outside expenses unless they submit an invoice for that. And the only place that's really incurring any sort of outside expenses that are reimbursable would be KPFT if they've made purchases for things and then they're reimbursed from the escrow account from the sale of the building. And even Mo, who does a lot of traveling for the company, rarely, if ever, gets reimbursed, and he's just taking it as a tax write-off. And, you know, even just a recent trip that I took to Berkeley to talk with the NPR folks, that was on my own dime as well. So, you know, the traveling and such that has been done isn't anything that people are doing with the intent of ever being reimbursed for it, because we just know the money's not there.
Wow. Wow. Sorry to hear that, but thank you.
Who was that requesting the stack there?
I'm McFadden.
McFadden, go ahead. I'm going to put myself on the stack after you.
Stephanie, I'm trying to think back. It was more than a month ago. We were doing some budget reviews, and one of the stations came in rather out of balance, unusually out of balance, and it was because, you know, some of the numbers hadn't been put into the spreadsheets, and I was wondering if that's been corrected.
We are still working on that budget, and that I haven't. I've had a few phone calls. I'm assuming with, you know, WBAI, I've had a few phone calls with Berthold regarding that budget.
I was actually talking about the KPFA budget. It was not up to date on some of the revenues, I think.
Okay, and that might have been a meeting that I missed, because I don't ever remember the KPFA budget even being presented. So there were two meetings that I think
it was a financial statement, if I could.
I think that's right.
I'm pretty sure it was a financial statement. Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to take a look then, or listen to an old meeting or something, because I don't remember being a part of a discussion with KPFA. But as I said, I missed two meetings. I've been on a city council thing for my city that I live in, and we had two meetings. But, I'll take a look and see, or I can ask you about it later, because it doesn't ring a bell. Sorry.
Okay.
McFadden, are you able to provide that information?
I can go back and try to look through. I just remember, you know, that I had asked about it, and it just hadn't been kept up to date. So
I do recall the conversation, yeah. All right, if you have trouble finding it, let me know. I'll see what I can do.
All right. I'm going to take a look for it right now.
Okay. Okay, I put myself on the stack after McFadden. Is there anybody else who wants to go after me? Well, we can get to that later. Stephanie, I asked you the other day about the employee retention credits that are kind of like an addendum to the EIDL loan availability that has to do with tax credits that are applicable to payroll taxes for entities that retained their employees successfully through COVID. And you mentioned that you were aware of that and that you were looking into it. Is there anything that you want to say more about that now or that you could report to us?
No, not anything more. We have the information. We're looking to see what employees would be eligible and trying to determine how many like hours is considered an employee. And obviously some of the consultants that we have that are technically vendors would not be available for that. So we're just trying to break down what employees would be considered eligible or not. So we're working on that, and hopefully we'll be able to get some better clarification and apply.
Great. That sounds great because it could be lucrative. Looks like they're generous grants. Another question I had was about the signatories. For quite a while, we were talking about numerous bank accounts with numerous signers and signatories that were difficult to change. How are we doing on that in general?
Where we're in some snags right now is with Wells Fargo, and so we are trying to get that worked out. And I know that often we get phone calls, both Markeisha and I, you know, from people saying, well, I just went into my bank and I was able to get this information. It shouldn't be that difficult, but it's much more time consuming from a personal account versus a business account and a nonprofit account. And we have bylaws that we have to share and statements from the secretary. One of the banks actually needed something notarized, so I had to go in and get that done. So there's a lot of different moving parts, but we do have a little bit of a hiccup with Wells Fargo for really no purpose except the name changes. There's just a lot of, we have to get the person that's originally on the account to sign some papers saying that it's okay to take their name off the account. And it's just a lengthy process. We're working on it, but it's just a lengthy process. Obviously not working as, you know, moving forward as fast as I would like it to, but we're still trying to work that out. And then we have to take now with Bank of America, which we just finished with that process, but we've already had, you know, with the elections coming up, and if there's a changeover with the board, a lot of the banks don't like to have a change in the signature every year. And that's kind of what we're telling them we're going to have to do. So we're trying to now work with them because they find it very unstable to have signatories of a bank change every single year. So we're kind of trying to get them prepped for the possibility of having to change the signatories already, because when we did it already with Bank of America, there's already been a change on the board with who the vice chair is. And so technically that person now needs to be added to the bank account and the other person removed. And we just finished that paperwork mere months ago. So it's kind of an ongoing process, and the bank isn't really happy about that, but we're still working on it.
I hear you. I hear you about the difficulties. I know, I think I've said this before in this committee, when we had to change the signatories at WBAI after 2019, we were just lucky that the chair of the board at that time lived in New York, because somebody had to physically go in. So one thing I was wondering is, are they requesting that you travel to appear in person at any of the banks, especially on the East Coast?
No. Fortunately, the banks are large enough that they are located, you know, everywhere. So, you know, Chase and Wells Fargo, it's just making sure that the banks that we're working with are then connecting with the correct individuals on that local level. And then with Charles Schwab, there's, you know, those are everywhere as well. And so we're still just waiting on a couple of pages from Charles Schwab to be signed. And then that I will have to physically take it into with Charles Schwab. But, you know, as again, Charles Schwab's are everywhere. So that's not a problem. Okay.
Good to know. Another question on, that's not a question really, it's just a statement about the affiliates card. As I recall, that was about breaking them out as a separate unit and having their own accounting and their own books. And there was a difficulty because they were, when they were part of the national office, they were sharing the national office credit card that was used to pay for certain items. And then they had some difficulty closing out their books because they couldn't that national office was not providing them with the statement that they needed, so they got their own card. But I presume now that's no longer necessary, and so they're just not going to have a card at all, or how are those occasional expenses that they had going to be accomplished?
We haven't had any issues with that moving forward. So if they have a card, they're paying it down. We don't get any bills or anything from them, and they have been broken out into their own accounting unit. So, yeah, they don't have a concern. What she had, what they had raised questions to me is that they had seen on their bank statement that there was a $4,000 payment made to a credit card, and it had been pulled from their account, and it wasn't, didn't jive with anything else that they had paid. They didn't even have that many expenses. So that's what we were trying to determine, why a payment was pulled from their account, from a card that we didn't even know existed somewhere. But then we ended up finding where it was, and it was just an old card that had expired, and there's still just payments that are being made toward it. So we needed to redirect that to have those payments come from the national office account.
Got it. Thank you. And I just have two more quick questions. And one was, you mentioned two stations with regard to credit card, prior credit card debt. I think it was KPFK and KPFT. Were there issues at any other stations?
Not that I am aware of, no.
Good. That's good to hear. And finally, is there anything that you can say about, I just, for those listening, I don't want people to misunderstand what you were talking to NPR folks about. That has to do with the distribution of Democracy Now. Is there anything you can say yet publicly about what's going on with that?
No, we at this point are trying to, in a nutshell, we have an outstanding bill to NPR for the storage and distribution of Democracy Now to multiple stations across the country. And so I met with them to determine why we're getting charged for the storage and distribution when some of the stations that are receiving the program are not part of the Pacifica network. So we met to kind of go through agreements that had been signed quite a few years ago between Pacifica and NPR and Democracy Now, and then went through the list of stations to determine if they're providing the program to our affiliates, we don't have a problem covering those costs. But personally, I don't believe that there's any reason we should be paying for the storage and distribution of a program to a network that is not part of our foundation. So that's what we're still trying to determine and figure out.
Understood. That's more than I thought you were willing to say publicly, but I'm glad you were able to explain so that people don't misunderstand what we're talking to NPR about. Okay. Okay. I'm going to see if anybody else wants to come on, but we're just about at time on this item.
McFadden to the stack. It'll be a quick.
Yeah, I heard you. I just want to see if anybody else wants to come after, and if so, do we need to extend time? Is there anybody else who would like to come on the stack?
Teresa for the stack.
All right, I'm going to ask that we, I think we're over time now. Could we have a motion to, I'm going to move to extend for five. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's done. Go ahead, McFadden.
Stephanie, I just wanted to say I sent you the, it's the first quarter FY 2023 draft consolidated, and that was what I was referring to. I think we discussed it on the February the 14th NFC meeting, and it seemed like there were numbers that hadn't been updated, and that's why there was a fairly sizable deficit shown at KPFA. So I assume that's been updated and can be distributed.
Yes, I'll take a closer look at that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for finding that, McFadden. I appreciate that. Teresa.
Oh, I hate to tie everybody up, but I don't quite understand the storage issue involving Democracy Now. Does that have something to do with archives? And I guess I don't know when else she could explain it, maybe to me, because I just really don't understand what storage is involved and how much that costs, why we would pay, what kind of storage do we have to pay for?
The storage is not archival programming, but current programming. So it's basically up when Democracy Now! Is uploading their current programs for distribution, they get sent to the cloud, basically, of NPR, very similar to where we store, you know, where the archives, I mean, where the affiliates store a lot of their programming, and then people can pull from that. And then individuals that have licensed use of Democracy Now! Can go to this site and download the program for air.
May I ask?
There are depot fees and transmission fees.
I'm sorry?
I was just saying there are depot fees, which like deposit fees are where they hold it, and then there's transmission fees.
Okay, and roughly, what amount are we talking about?
Anywhere between, it's right now I think averaging anywhere between $3,000 to $5,000 a month.
Thank you.
Sometimes as much as $6,000 actually. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
And it hasn't been paid in about a year and a half.
We owe them $50,000 plus, something like that?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, well, they're working on that. Wish you well. Okay. We do have maybe one more minute. Does anybody else want to jump in at the last minute? Okay, hearing none. Thank you very much, Stephanie, for that report and those answers to those questions. And now we will go to number 7, which is review of the central services formula. We have a half an hour for this item. I'm hoping maybe we can do it quicker. Just to set the background, we've been going back and forth on this. There was a question of should we have a flat 15% central services formula, or should we make exceptions for additional expenses, or that certain stations have and others don't, or ability to pay versus just everyone paying the same amount, regardless of ability to pay. And I think we've hit upon a compromise, which is we're looking at a flat 15% central services fee for all stations, with a one-time exception for KPFK and WBAI of 8% for a transition year, which would be this year, to just give them a little more time to adjust, and then all stations would go onto a flat 15% fee for, and that's based, that would be based on their revenue, all revenue. So, that's just a little background as to where I think we left the discussion. Chris was going to go to Stephanie to see if 15% was still a good number. Chris, perhaps you can describe what happened with that. I've had a conversation with Stephanie. She thought 15% was still a good number. She was agreeable to the 8% for the two stations named. I also spoke to Julie, the chair of the board, about it. She seemed agreeable. But now's where we get to talk about it all. So, Chris, do you want to pick up with where we left off?
Sure. So thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. And I've actually been really tied up the last couple of weeks, and so I actually never contacted Stephanie, but I know that you two have talked about it, and I was copied in on those correspondences, and so I know that she's been presented with this idea, and she has she's already responded to that, and you've already pointed out that she responded favorably to it. I would rather actually hear it from her than hear it from you, if you wouldn't mind. So I will reserve a bit of my time for her. But I think the way you worded the proposal most recently to me makes pretty good sense. There was an additional little bit of language that you used that you didn't use when you presented it just a moment ago, and that's that the other you were, I believe, I can't remember exactly how you put it, but I believe that you suggested that the other 7% should be shoved off into an accrual account. And I mean, that would be great if it were part of the proposal. But I was also a little bit surprised by it. So I'd like you to speak to that particular aspect of it. It would make the budgeting on an 8% basis, which I think is the objective here. And I think maybe we should describe the status of the stations that are eligible for this. The wording I would suggest for it is probably distressed. And so a distressed station can apply for the reduced rate. And you'd have to suggest who would be probably the NFC, a combination of the NFC and the executive director or something would approve it. But I think that concept makes sense, because as everybody on this committee at one point or another, including those who object to the idea most strenuously, have pointed out, the stations that are suffering the most have the lowest propensity to pay the central service fee, no matter what the rate is. And making it easier for them to make their budgets is, I think, a reasonable objective, a reasonable compromise. It makes sense to me. And I was happy to see that come across in the communications. I think that concept is good. I think it's the best concept that anyone suggested over the many years that I was on the NFC, and over the last few months as well. So I like the proposal. If we were going to draft the wording for it, I think it should be fairly carefully drafted. It might behoove us not to attempt to draft it tonight, but to beat it around a little bit and make sure that it's nice and fine-tuned so that it gets swift approval. I mean, if everybody is pretty solid on what's been suggested just in the last few minutes here, then I guess we could try and hammer it out. The fact that there are very few exceptions here is going to make it a lot easier, because the amendment process the last time we did this was almost insurmountable. I mean, we got it, we squeezed it through on a vote with like 5 minutes left to go in the NFC session where this was heard, 2 years ago, I think it was. And, yeah, it just barely made it. And the only reason it made it is because those that were opposed to it just held their tongues and went with it. So I would like to see something a little bit more commodus happen this time. And it sounds like we're headed in that direction. And so without belaying this further, I'd like to hear from Stephanie in particular, and also from you, James, if you're willing, on what the suggested on the questions that I raised in the last couple of minutes, if that's possible. Thank you.
Yeah, Chris, of course, we'll hear from Stephanie, and I would ask you then maybe to raise your questions one at a time, and then we can
sure.
discuss them. Also, I would like to try and do this tonight. I don't think the language has to be that complicated. We're not really writing for all time for distressed stations in the future to make such an application, although we could do that. But I would say maybe we could kick that part of it down the road. But what we really want to do
it's
is just get a central services, get the central service formula established. So all the budgets that we've already tentatively approved pending an establishment of a central services formula, we can get them through the PNB and proceed apace with the rest of them.
I got it. Okay, I understand the objective, and that makes sense. Okay, sure.
All right,
that sounds relatively easy then.
That's what I hope. Although, as you point out, crafting language by committee is not always easy. I think that's what you were pointing out.
Yes.
Stephanie, do you want to comment?